Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
We've made it. You're here, baby.
We're here.
How are you, you handsome devil?
You know, I'm living the fucking dream. My house shit is... I'm learning that everybody has house issues.
Yes, they do.
It's like Hollywood. Everybody got daddy issues. Everybody got house issues.
Well, listen, renovating a house, the most common thing. I know a couple people going through this. People, it's so stressful, and you're going through it.
Well, we're not renovating by choice, though. I mean, like, we kind of have to renovate. Like, gas lines were put in improperly. Like, yo, whoever owned this place before us or whoever, I don't know, man. Like, this place was not taken care of. And I feel like Tom Hanks and my wife is Shelley Long.
And this movie is
The Money Pit.
Money Pit. For those of you too young to know the reference, a classic Tom Hanks film, Money Pit.
If you get a chance, see the movie.
Well, you look handsome. That's all that matters, right?
I don't feel handsome right now. I feel worn.
Right. Go on.
I feel beaten.
Go ahead.
I feel distraught.
Can I help you turn it around?
No, you cannot. The only thing that's going to help me turn it around is if we do a good freaking podcast.
We're gonna.
And we bring in John freaking C. McGinley.
The legend is here. Do you want to go right to bringing him in? He's here.
I mean, we should shoot the shit with him so he doesn't sit in the green room.
All right, let's bring Johnny C. McGinley in, everyone. America's favorite actor on the planet.
He's coming in.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hey, handsome.
Johnny C.
There he is.
Hi, Zachy. Hi, Daniel.
Good to see you again.
How you doing, you handsome? Look how ripped he is.
How are you?
Hi, D-Fizz. D-Fizz, I missed you the other night.
Oh, man, I missed you the other night.
Look how ripped he is, Donald.
Man, it just doesn't go away.
Audience, you can't see this, but the man is more ripped than fucking ever.
It just doesn't go away.
He's like the Rock. He's like that. He's like an Irish Rock.
He is strong.
Dude, I have so many questions and so many things to say about this episode. I can't even tell you.
Well, we're going to get into it.
We're going to get into it.
Johnny,
let's shoot the shit a little bit.
But Johnny's a bliss. Johnny genuinely listens to the podcast, and he loves the podcast, and he texts me all these nice things. And Johnny, just so we can follow up, because Johnny was at the event where Harrison Ford was, and Donald never got a chance to use what he had rehearsed, Johnny, right? He never got a chance to you heard him run drills with me, and he never got a chance to do it.
Donald, you doing that improv with Zachy in the episode prior to this one was comedy gold.
Thank you.
Zachy told me about it, and his pitch was really good. And then you two getting after it. And Zachy, you doing Harrison's pretty good. That grumbly way in the back of your
voice. Not too bad. Although
it's pretty darn good.
Someone told me I sound like Bane, but it's somewhere between Bane and Harrison Ford. Bane.
Right in there.
Bane was more like this, and you could really not understand what he was saying.
Donald, you couldn't come though. You didn't get because
we had a blackout power outage in our neighborhood,
and your kids weren't having it.
I can't leave my kids with the babysitter. My kids are very young. I can't leave my kids with the babysitter in a dark, cold house.
Couldn't you have given them flashlights and said, "Daddy wants to go talk to Harrison Ford"?
I you know what? I could have, but I made an executive decision as a father, and instead of emotionally scarring my children for my own personal benefit, I decided to do the right thing like Spike Lee and stay home with them.
Zachy also had a blackout, and he also had a house guest, Josh Radin, who I love, and they had a little bit of a tiff at the party because Zach trying to direct Josh back into his house as a guest it was pretty legendary. It was completely dysfunctional.
Johnny was privy to me and Josh arguing because my power was out too. And I was going to go home. And he was like, "Well, I'm going to stay longer." And I was like, "Okay." It was like a couple's fight. And he's like, "Well, how am I going to get in?"
It was a couple's fight.
And Johnny was in the middle. It was literally like a comedy sketch. Johnny's sitting in the middle. And Josh is like, "How am I going to get in if the power's out?" And I go, "Well, the gate probably should work. I think it's got a battery pack." And he's like, "But what if it doesn't?" I'm like, "Well, then come to the main door." "Which door?" I go, "Then you know the door, the front door, and then put the code in." And I'm like, "Johnny, this is the worst Airbnb guest I've ever had." And then Johnny was just cracking up. And picture John's head just like ping-ponging back and forth as me and Raiden got into this fight. And I'm like, "Just climb the fence." He's like, "I'm not climbing the fucking fence in the dark." I go, "Josh, "Johnny would climb the fence." And Johnny nods. He goes, "I would. I'd climb the fence.
Yeah, he would.
Those are two different house guests, are two different house guests.
Johnny, I tried to shame him. I'm like, "Look at John. He's ripped. He'd climb the fence." He's like, "Yeah, I'm not ripped like that. What's the code for the front door?"
having you two in an argument was made me happy. It made me happy.
Well, Johnny, I got to tell you.
Okay, wait, hold up. Was fucking Harrison Ford there?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is it true that Jay-Z was there, John?
No, I lied to you about Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
Oh, I spent all my time with Harrison. I don't know. No, I didn't see Jay-Z.
He wasn't there.
No, I was fucking with him, John, and I told him that he missed a great party. Not only was Harrison there, but Jay-Z was there.
First thing I said to Harrison, I said, "Harrison, you're so good on Billy's show." And he goes, "Oh, is it Billy's show now?"
Yeah, I love people that take the piss out of Bill because very few people do. So I love people that like Harrison that'll be like, "Oh, it's your show."
Right.
I first of all, it was so great to see you, man. It made me so clear how much I missed you and how much I love you and how much I love chatting with you. And I spent like a good chunk of time just cracking up with Johnny. And of course, he was privy to me and Josh Radin's couples fight. I wanted to talk to you about this cold plunge thing and tell our audience a little bit about it because Johnny is very into this whole sauna and cold plunge life. And I'm seeing it everywhere with so many people that I look up to, whether they're super smart people with a podcast or they're very successful people. I know so many people at the top of their game who are doing this dopamine hit of going super hot and then ice cold and starting their day like that. And Johnny, you've been doing this forever. And I thought you could just tell our audience a little bit about it because I'm very interested in it.
I am too. I really would like to know about this, Johnny, because as you know, I hate the cold. But if it's going to put longevity into my life and make me healthier, I really want to be a part of this. So,
all right, Johnny, go ahead. Tell us.
So about 20 years ago, my friend and neighbor Laird Hamilton, who's a kind of a wealth of fitness and health information, because people flock from around the planet to share their stuff with him. And one of the guys was Wim Hof, who's kind of the high priest of cold water plunges and all this and breathing. And so Wim spent a lot of time with us, and then Laird kind of took what Wim had and put it on steroids. And what he had was this hot and cold as it pertains to your lymphatic system and as it affects inflammation. So your lymphatic system is something that circulates all the good stuff throughout your body. And it usually takes 6 to 12 hours for that to go around all the good chemicals in your body. And this accelerates that to about an hour. And so you have all the good juice going around and you've accelerated that to an hour. And the other thing it does is it deals with inflammation. And since we all have inflammation, whether it's in your joints or organs or your brain, somewhere you have inflammation. And this purports to help with inflammation. And those are the two big highlights.
But also you get a giant dopamine hit, don't you? I mean, doesn't it like,
well, here's the thing.
Or I don't know if it's endorphins or dopamine, but like you feel fucking amazing, right?
Well, here's the thing. Once you get into wherever your sensitivities are, either the heat or the ice, your brain is telling the rest of your body that you're in a great deal of jeopardy. You're not, of course. Mm-hmm. You're just in a steel tub with some ice in it, or you're in a hot
sauna.
A hot house. Yeah, a sauna that you can open the door and leave. And so the hack is tricking your brain and shutting that off and letting your body know that it is okay. And so now all this inflammation is starting to subside and your lymphatic system is really charged. And that's what you're perceiving as either dopamine or this high that you get afterwards. But it's just hacking the brain and telling it that it's not, in fact, in any jeopardy. It's fine. You're in an ice tub and everything's going to be okay.
And how do you do this? How do you do this? Do you do it where you are in and then you're out and then you're in? And is it a session? Is it?
Yeah, it's three rounds, right? I think it's three rounds, right? Johnny, tell us.
So it's three rounds. We go 15 minutes in the heat and then 100 nose breaths in the ice and then back into the heat. And so three rounds of that. But for you, Donald, we'd start at 40 nose breaths. Just
okay.
And so that all your focus goes there instead of the panic that's going on in your chest.
Right. No, he was saying, and I've seen other people say this because I've been like, once you click on this Instagram wormhole, you're going to see so many people doing this.
Oh, it goes so deep.
No, but I'm really interested because.
So am I, man. I've been checking this out also.
Johnny told me that what happens is like you go into panic mode, right? But but then like your friend who's done it, like Johnny, would coach you like, calm down. You're just in full on fight or flight mode. You're just in an ice tub. You're not going to die. And then you focus on your breathing. And like, if you can do that and train yourself, you can go shorter or longer and then develop this skill set, which is really powerful for a lot of people.
And it's good for circulation. It's good for, it's good for your heart.
I think I told this story on the podcast. I'll tell it quickly if I've told this before. Joelle, remind me if I've told this. But when we were doing the ocean swim thing in that episode where I'm like, I do the triathlon and I'm the only one in a what do you call it? Speedo?
A Speedo.
Yeah, pick an apple, put it in your pocket. Pick an apple, put it in your pocket. Remember I was swimming? Mm-hmm. When we shot that, the water was really cold. It was like probably 45 degrees, but it was a hot day. It was LA. And they had a longboard. All the crew who were in the water had wetsuits on. But they had a longboard for me to not be there in a Speedo for too long. So we would get in and I would shoot. And then I'd go, oh my God, I need a break. And I'd get on the longboard. Sun was beating down on me. And then I get in, shoot. I was basically doing a modified version of what Johnny's saying, but I didn't know that I was doing anything special. When we wrapped that, I went back to my trailer and I don't remember. It's something I remembered. And it was probably 16 years ago. I remember feeling such a high, a natural, full body mental high. Like I had like just serotonin flowing through my body.
Because your organs were working at optimal level, man. That's why, man. With all of the junk that you had in your system, your lymphatic system is just speeding through, man. Do you know how good that feels? Do you know how good no inflammation feels, man? Inflammation feels amazing.
I don't know.
Your joints, on your bloodstream, on your system, all of that, man. That's why I'm so interested in this, man. I've been seeing a lot of people on Instagram doing it. I had a conversation with somebody last night about it, and they were talking about how they got, you know, apparently the tub isn't the problem. It's the freaking the system that you put into the tub that's expensive. And then
you can literally start with a plastic barrel. I see people on Instagram with a plastic barrel of ice water. Like
you can get a good gift for yourself. If you're out there and you have the money to do it,
But I'm saying I hear you, and I'm saying there's like refrigerated tubs that are very expensive, but you can literally start with a plastic barrel. In fact, if you watch Ted Lasso, those soccer players are getting into fucking the recycling.
Trash cans.
The trash cans.
Trash cans, yeah.
And Bill and Jason put that in the show because when they went to research the real guys, that's what those guys are getting in, those fucking blue recycling things.
Yeah.
So you can literally do it with that.
I'm saying, but if you got the dough and you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think one before one spends the dough, one should see if they can handle it in a plastic barrel. You know?
Right.
No, I think you're going to be able to handle. Listen.
No, you're the guy because you're the guy who goes and then spends 15 grand and goes like, I'm not doing that shit.
Nah, I am that guy, but I'd wind up doing it.
Donald,
anyway.
If you came out here, I'd walk you through it.
Johnny, I'm going to. Can I come out?
Let's do a session together. Can we convince my wife to do this bad boy too? Because I'm sure she would benefit from this.
Yeah, and will she wear 100%. A bikini? Will she wear a bikini when she does it?
Co-ed.
Listen, her nipples get so hard.
No,
it's cold.
Wow,
and they're like not comfortable with this. Not comfortable with this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you seen my wife?
Not
she's so hot.
No, I'm comfortable with it. Listen, she's very hot, Johnny.
I'm not talking about Casey's private parts.
All right, we'll talk about Casey's private parts another time. But hold Casey,
on. Do you want Casey to come
down
here?
No.
I don't want. But, I don't know. It's just
because she can talk about her nipples too.
No. We don't.
I love it. Look at it. Look at him. Look at him squirm.
I'm just saying, when Casey joins us, she should probably wear a bikini. But Johnny, can we come? We'd love to come and do it.
Let's do a session together.
I want to come down there.
I'll be in there this afternoon. I was in this morning. I'll be in there this afternoon. The answer is yes.
How's the golf simulator?
Oh, dude. You're just going to come out here and have a man vacation with me.
I know. Johnny has the best house. There's a golf simulator. There's cold plunges.
I just need to know, has your game elevated? Listen, I haven't played in over a year now.
I know. I've been listening to you. You're Mr. Tennis now.
I was playing a little tennis. Chris Crabb would have you believe that I play a lot of tennis, but I played like, listen, once you're in, tennis is one of those sports that you don't need, you could take a lot of time off. And when you come back, if you're not out of shape or if you're still athletic, it's still there. You know
what
I mean?
That's not true. That's you. You happen to be a very, very athletic
person. Donald's a really good athlete.
There was a time when I was taking lessons like every week and Donald was not there. He was doing golf. And then he comes back. We have the same teacher. And he comes back and like he's shitty for like the first 15 minutes. And I'm like feeling so good because never am I better at a sport than Donald. And I was just like hitting really well. And I was just like so happy. And like 16 minutes in, he starts doing trick shots. He's like fully back.
Well, no,
he's like, he's like doing through the leg shit.
You know what the trick shots are to fucking just make it so that everybody runs. You know what I mean?
Nobody
that
likes
hitting
that
guy. Back and forth to somebody is some bullshit, man. That's how you lose. You're gonna beat me on consistency all day long. So my competitive spirit gets in there, and now I'm freaking making it so that you can't be comfortable anymore.
He puts like a ping pong spin on the ball, Johnny.
Yeah, well, man.
That's brutal.
You gotta do something to switch it up. Listen,
I like that thing.
Yeah.
Dude, I did that. Oh my God, I did that one.
Donald has the ability to do like this is what he does. He's exactly right. He gives up on consistency. So he does some like ping pong fucking spin on the ball, right. And the ball does something I've never seen a pro do it. It just like.
Donald got those good hands. Donald got the hands. He got hand eye for cray cray.
That's what my brother says because my technique is horrible in baseball, but I can still hit the baseball.
Yeah, because you got great hands.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Johnny, I'm going to hit you up because I have a fear about this. And when I felt like it was a sign from the universe when I talked to you about it the other day, because I felt like I need someone. I need a mentor, not to.
I could walk you. I could take you through a session. It would be so comforting to you. And you would feel so accomplished when you do the three sessions and you get in and out of the ice three times. You will leave here. You will feel so rejuvenated and you'll feel really proud of yourself, which is terrific.
Well, thank you. I totally want to do it, Johnny. And I'm going to take you up on that.
Do you do it like every day or is this an everyday thing or is this a once a week thing? Like what's the criteria?
No, I did it this morning. After the pool workout and I'm going to go down and get Maxie and then I'm going to get home later tonight. Around six, I'll be back in there.
You do two rounds a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
I want to do it one. Yeah. I want to.
You can do it as many times as you want. Is this true?
It's a big leap for me because I fucking hate cold water, but I really feel like it's a challenge for me. It's like a life goal. I want to conquer this bullshit.
I got a lot of things I want to accomplish in life.
And well, we have like a great master here, a Yoda, if you will, Donald, that can teach us to conquer our fear of sitting in ice water.
I'm all for longevity if this helps.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't know, D, if it helps with longevity as much as it helps with inflammation. Inflammation.
John, inflammation is a key to longevity.
If but you can John, control it also your inflammation. It also helps with mental health. I hear people talking about how it
big
makes
time.
Them, yeah. I hear that's See, for me, that's not, the real that's not the real
least
attraction.
Of which because you feel like you've accomplished something that was a goal. And
yeah.
I don't know how many goals we have all the time. And this is a tangible one that you could check off.
Yeah. Mm. Donald. Yeah, Donald. Okay. So we're going. Okay. Tell Casey to bikini up.
Oh my God, I'm gonna bikini her up. And we're gonna bring the suntan oil.
Yeah, something small, something like illegal in certain parts of Florida.
I'm gonna make sure it's up her ass.
Dude. Different episode.
All right, count us in, Donald. Let's do the show.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said here's a story.
All right, 804, everybody. This aired on January 13th, 09. That was 14,
very interesting episode.
That was 14 years ago. Very wacky episode. Very funny. Lots of stuff with the legendary Johnny C. McGinley and Donald Faison.
Yeah, together again.
The team is together.
Gee, it's good to be together again.
Directed by Ken Winningham.
Can't imagine that we've ever been gone.
And a
it's
love
not starting letter. Over.
To Sammy, just a love letter to Sammy.
Oh, he's so good in this, right?
Yeah, absolute Sam. Love letter.
Sam has a lot to do in this one, and it's amazing how much they squeezed in this episode. There's so much. All right, well, let's just start off at the top.
Okay, you guys... so you bopping down the hallway, first of all.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is something that somebody said to me once. He was like, you guys are hilarious. I was like, why is that? He's like, because you guys are bopping down the hallway like you own the place. Like, if you watch any episode of Scrubs, the strut JD and Turk have when they're with the pimps and stuff like that, I guess that continued on because we do that. Like, every episode, there's us freaking walking around like, this is my shit.
Yeah.
I thought to Donald's point, Zeki, I thought you were biting Travolta in Saturday Night Fever when he's bringing the paint can down Queens Boulevard.
That's such a great moment.
And John has that strut. And you had John strut in this, which is a compliment, by the way.
Well,
it's a tough strut. Well, it ain't easy.
It is a tough strut.
It ain't easy.
Well, listen, JD has had 7.5 years of being tortured by the janitor.
Oh, right.
And for the first time in his whole medical career, he doesn't have to worry about him, he thinks.
Right.
So he's feeling himself. A weight has been taken off his shoulders.
That's really good.
And he's like, I don't have to look around the corner anymore.
That's really good.
He's feeling himself.
And as he says that, he runs into the Todd who knocks him on his ass. He says, maybe
which
I should look
disgusting.
Around the corner.
Which is disgusting. It's disgusting.
You don't want Rob on top of you. You don't
Plus, he goes in for a kiss.
Well, we know that Todd is beyond
bisexual.
He goes
in for a
kiss. He's beyond bisexual. He's into everything. Anything and everything.
He's just sexual.
He's just sexual, period.
Yeah, but it's not sexual. What he does is not sexual. It's disgusting.
No. It's not consensual for sure.
It's not consensual.
He says, I can feel Lil JD five. And I go, no thanks, Todd. And he goes, but I can. And I want my five.
Then he goes in for a kiss.
That was so funny. He goes, but I can. And I want my five. Okay, so then we go through a sequence where JD and Elliot are flirting, of course, again, and they're hanging out. JD seems obsessed with Oprah.
So wait, who makes the cereal box for him?
Well, the cereal box is really Wait,
no, somebody made it so that when it opens up, it goes.
No, it's been rigged to have a Oprah voice by Whitney and Payroll, who we see later.
Yes.
She says, like, who wants some Oprah O's? But wait, did you infer that the JD, when he said he had it made, had also made the box or just the vocal mechanism?
I thought he made the box also.
Johnny, what did you think?
I thought the writers got so drunk on the Oprah joke that I just went along with them. They stumbled into it and they just wanted to squeeze every drop of water out of that joke.
This must have been at the height of the time where Oprah was giving away stuff and yelling all the time.
Right.
No, I think Tracy Morgan did Oprah on 30 Rock, and we were walking. He was like, you know what I mean? The question was, what would Oprah do? And he was dressed up as Oprah, and he went, what would I do?
But also,
and we were walking around doing Oprah on set. I think this joke comes from like us being obsessed with 30 Rock.
I don't. Well, perhaps, but I just remember at the time Oprah was always giving away stuff, and she kind of leaned into her own joke. She was like, "You get a car, you get a car, you get a car."
Yeah.
All right.
Look under your seat.
Look under your seat. There's a car.
Do you see the keys?
Oprah, how did you get that car under my seat? I'm Oprah.
Dude, that shit was. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that actual video of her telling the audience that they get a car?
They lose their fucking mind.
And you get a car. And you get a car.
Yeah.
And you. And you, everybody gets cars.
Yeah. The video of people, even when it wasn't cars, of the audience when Oprah would give shit away, they would lose their minds.
And you get a book.
Yeah, it would be like, you get lotion? You, and their heads are exploding. They're like, no lotion!
You know, I can't even hear the word lotion now without thinking of Ted Levine telling the girl to put lotion on it in Silence of the Lambs. I can't even hear that word. I can't hear the word.
It puts the lotion.
Yo.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Will it put the lotion in the basket?
Oh, Ted is so good in that.
It please places the lotion. I said put the fucking lotion in the basket.
I watch all these movies because I put a TV in the sauna behind two pieces of plexiglass. Because I'm such a news junkie. That you can stay in the hothouse. I call it the hothouse. I had the production designer on Scrubs make this sign for me, and it says the hothouse, and it's still out there. And I just watch all these movies, and I guess I must have watched Ted Levine the other day in Silence of the Lambs. Kind of random.
That's kind of a rig. Nice rig you got over there.
Thank you,
been
Zach.
There. Daniel's been there, by the way.
Gorgeous. Daniel helped me set up the golf.
Yeah, Daniel got the whole tour.
Hell yeah.
Daniel's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous spot. And the hothouse is dope. You have it set up very nicely.
Totally dope.
Daniel, I like that t-shirt. Shout out Dove.
Shout out to you. It's a a De La Soul song.
It's so easy.
It's so easy.
Hey, do you know where Judy is in this episode? Is
she's Judy not.
Shooting a movie? I know she's not.
We all missed episodes during the season because of budget. And
they did this budget cutback.
Remember, we moved to ABC.
Oh,
season 8.
So everyone, I think. Everyone takes, including me, takes a few off this season, and this is Judy's turn to not be in because
I immediately miss Jude.
Do you remember this though? Do you remember?
I remember this. After you guys tell me stuff, I remember it. Otherwise, I don't remember stuff.
Well, the funniest joke in the whole episode happens very early on, and it's
this joke is a meme. I've got people that do this as
what is the joke? Situation.
The joke Turk is touching a patient and feeling his area,
his stomach,
and there's a fart noise, and Turk says that's all right, it's perfectly natural, and the patient says that was you. He goes, I know.
It was perfectly natural.
Perfectly natural.
Dude, I hadn't seen that in a while. And I had to pause the playback to laugh so hard.
It's a meme, dude. Like, there are people that are lip syncing this shit on TikTok and stuff right now, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll post it. That'll be my your performance for this episode.
Your performance of that joke made it was so deadpan and funny. And all right, so then we get into this main storyline between Dr. Cox and Turk, which is that Dr. Cox does not trust any surgeon. He calls them corpse carpenters. And you know,
I have major questions about this.
All right, I want to hear. Go ahead.
Well, what are we? I don't know what we're doing. I mean, I feel like I'm on the set right now, and I'm talking to the. I don't know what we're doing. I mean, Cox has just gone out of his mind here. They're just going to take. They're just going to harvest organs and put them wherever they want.
Yeah, that. Well, that's illegal, man. That's
yeah, I'm sure
illegal.
That's not to the. To, but he had decided that. That he had found a lucky solution to this kidney problem.
Yeah, they put him on the donor list, and then they took what's her, and they're on the donor list already.
No, I understand all that, but then one party says, I don't want to participate.
Right.
And so Cox and Turk go, well, we'll do it anyway.
yeah, pretty much.
What?
Well, no, I think, wasn't it that they would do it simultaneously. So that there was no fear of them lose the person balking, right?
Right, without their permission.
I didn't get that it was without permission.
I was under the impression that it was out there was without their permission.
That's way too fucked up, even for
because they never explained why they didn't want to do it.
Correct.
Well, no, that was unclear. As I understood it, the story point was that it involved one person going early. And doing it, and then Joel's nodding, and the other person was nervous. Hey, we have no. I'm gonna give a stranger my kidney.
They never said.
But I have no. I have no guarantee that you when you do yours, you're gonna give my husband yours.
That's not the text.
Never explained this at all in the show.
I agree.
It seemed at first I was like, "What are they fucking racist?" Because the other camp is brown, and they're not. You know what I mean? Like a lot of shit went through my head.
And then all of a sudden,
they were like, "Yo, we're just gonna do it."
I was like,
this is highly illegal.
I had to
at
do
some
the math.
Point, and this is going to come and bite them in the ass.
You're right. I had to do the math in my head and put together the missing pieces. But yeah, there's a missing story beat for the audience there. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, guess what's going to happen? We're going to talk more about this bizarre issue about Cox not trusting Turk. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise-canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise-canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
And we're back with the legendary Johnny. The legendary Johnny C. McGinley, who says at the end of the movie Seven, "Somebody call somebody."
That's right.
Fucking amazing, amazing fucking movie. Amazing part.
Can I tell? No disrespect to the farting by D Fizz, but I totally obviously forget everything. But I didn't remember Jimmy the overly touchy orderly. I was laugh out loud.
Dude, yeah. That shit was the funniest shit. Listen, Taryn,
did you do that in 2023?
No, T would be fired again. He would get fired right away.
Well, you could do it. It would just be okay.
That's a fight. That's a lot of. Because somebody's going to be like, yo, get the fuck off. Like, even freaking Ted says, dude, I do not like this. And he's still hugging him. He's still hugging him.
It was so funny, though.
If you were to still be hugging, the minute he says, I don't like to stop, and you're like, oh, and then you grab his face and
walk off. Grabs his face.
That's fucking straight up HR. Listen, I said to the motherfucker, I did not like it. And you know what he did? He kept rubbing, and then he grabbed my face. He grabbed my motherfucking face. Now, y'all need to come down here and fire this motherfucker right now.
Did you? I laughed, though. Johnny, did you see the blooper at the end where we start laughing?
That's hilarious. Hilarious.
There had to be 1,000 feet of bloopers with you two.
Well, obviously, he was just making the shit up. And he's Taryn's hilarious and an improv guy. And he was just riffing this weirdest shit. And
that actor is great.
I just remember laughing so hard with him.
Yeah.
Who is he? Is he a friend of Neil's, or is he somebody you know from around?
He's gone on to be on Saturday Night Live and like.
Oh, that guy's talented.
Yeah. He went on after this show. He went on to become a.
Where did he go after SNL? I don't know where he is currently, but he's fucking hilarious.
He did Broadway for a bit. He's made a couple of movies. He's in.
He never breaks when he's overly touching you and Sammy.
No, he doesn't.
He never breaks.
And some of the
shit you know, a lot of the stuff that he did on Scrubs, he took with him to Saturday Night Live, like his Brad Pitt impersonation. You know how we got to see that early on? That goes with him to SNL.
Yeah,
he was on SNL for a pretty long time too. Him, he does. Keenan, Bobby Moynihan, there's a few of them. They were all like, they were all click. You know, they've gone on to do other things. Keenan's still
right. On the Kelso storyline, Kelso says, quote, I'm like Norm in this bitch as he walks into the Coffee Bucks because he's still hanging out at the hospital's Coffee Bucks and he's sort of shamed by everyone.
Well, he's not shamed by everyone. He's only shamed by Ted. Everyone just wants an explanation. Like, look, it really does seem like everybody's like, they laugh at his jokes and everything still.
Right.
So I don't think everybody, I don't think everybody wants him gone. They just want an explanation on why he's still there.
Well, Ted finally hits him up with, don't you have anything better to do?
Right.
And Kelso's embarrassed. He says that he's been planning to take Enid to wine country, but that's just because she whines wherever he takes her. But he's been embarrassed. And so he covers and says that he's going to be leaving and going on a trip with Enid. JD references the score sting. He says whenever anyone leaves, bow. He hears, bow, which is very meta. Because then Elliot says, I'm going to leave, and we hear the score go, bow.
We're forgetting something.
What is it, my friend?
The janitor's back.
The janitor is back, and he hasn't been rehired back. He's just come back.
Right. They introduced the janitor and Jimmy at the exact same time. And I feel like they cut, because this is right before we cut into the show. This is the cold open. Yeah. They cut Jimmy putting his arm around the janitor, it looks like. It looks like his hand is coming up to touch him.
Neil was probably like, I'm not doing that bit.
Yeah, don't touch me. Don't fucking touch me.
I feel like you guys touched on it last episode of the podcast. And in this one, I could feel it tangibly that I feel like the writer's room and Bill just kept putting more slack in the leash for Neil by season 8. They were like, just let Neil think of something.
Yeah. Nothing we're going to come up with is going to be as funny as what comes out of his head. So Neil will say something here.
And he damn sure does.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about last week. Johnny. Like, you just know.
So I pass Turk with Elliot and I say, I can feel when Turk is sad. It's like a wave of heat.
Turk's distraught because he knows Cox doesn't trust him.
Right.
He doesn't like that.
No, and he's really being second
for a while.
Yeah, he feels disrespected, and he feels like he's being second-guessed, and he doesn't understand it.
Don't you think it's a slippery slope when you put current pop culture jokes into shows? Mm. When you reference The Hills,
yeah,
and then X years later, I wonder if anybody knows anymore. What The Hills is.
Yeah,
The
it's Hills, not funny anymore.
The Hills was a reality.
No, I know. I know what it was.
Like a pseudo reality show, right? No, but Joel, it was like it was scripted, but it was supposed to be reality.
He's right. You listen to a lot of the old rap songs from the 90s, well, not the 90s, from the early 2000s and stuff like that. And it was a lot of jokes about, you know, things that don't even exist anymore. And
I like just think it's
Windows
slippery.
Excel and stuff like that. Like, no, not a slide to Jay-Z, but Jay-Z had a lot of pop culture lyrics back in the day, and it's not like he's not the best rapper still, best rapper alive still, but some of those things don't
who's
age
the best rap
well.
Who's the best rapper alive now, Donald?
Jay-Z. Okay.
Still. Do you like Drake?
I do like Drake. I think I'm not saying Jay-Z is the best rapper period, but he is the best rapper alive.
Daniel, who do you think is the best rapper alive?
Oh man, I don't know if I'm qualified to have an opinion on this one.
Why not? You're a DJ.
You're a DJ, Daniel.
I just don't listen to enough contemporary hip hop right now that I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of really talented people. Like Smino. Smino is really good.
Look, I don't listen to enough contemporary hip hop either, but, you know, numbers don't lie. You know what I mean?
Well, I think West Side Gun is a great MC.
Joelle?
Yeah, I'm really into Mick Jenkins. I'll put Mick Jenkins.
Mick Jenkins.
Top
Mick Jenkins
rapper.
Also rules. Ugh,
I was in the gym the other day and I heard the lyric. It's a Rolly, not a stopwatch. Who's that?
That's freaking Drake. Shit don't
Rolly,
ever stop.
Not a stopwatch. Shit,
no, it's a Rolly, not stop. A stopwatch.
I just hit the switch.
You were looking tight and nice on Saturday Dude, night,
thank
son.
You. I'm trying Dude, to look like you.
He's very svelte right now.
I'm working hard at it.
Tight and nice. I was looking at you svelte. Like a man looking at a man yeah. the way a man
but
looks
we were talking
a man.
To Yeah, we were talking to I'll, Brett Goldstein. Johnny and I were talking to Brett Goldstein, and just as I touched his abdomen, I felt... His ab, Brett Goldstein has ripped fucking
He's
abs.
Fucking Hercules in the Marvel Universe.
But every time I break up Hercules, he's either doing a bit or so into his NDA that he won't talk about it. Because
he's in his NDA. Don't fucking do it. Just don't bring it up.
No,
he's
I
not
go,
gonna give
I go,
you shit.
I go, why are you so fucking ripped right now? Is it because of Hercules? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But
yeah,
he's
man.
Got like, he's got like.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies, yes. Brett Goldstein, I know a lot of you have crushes on him. Well, I'm here to tell you, he's got abs. He's got Hercules abs.
He's working hard, man. I don't know what it's for, but he's working hard. Listen, I know a lot of shit about a lot of shit, and I'm not going to talk shit about anything.
That sounds like a rap.
I know a lot of shit. Listen, I've been running into people, and I've heard some things about people, and they doing their thing, and I just want you okay. to know without saying your name, I'm so proud of all of y'all. How about that?
Okay. That could apply to anyone listening, but thank you, Donald, for saying
Absolutely.
Something
Absolutely,
so,
it's supposed to. But so they know cryptic. Who they know who they are. They know. And yeah. check
hey,
this
listen.
Out. Check this out. Some of them don't even know that I know, but trust me, I know.
All right. Well, the only clue I have to what the fuck you're talking about is that it came off of Brett Goldstein's abs. Let's get back to the TV show Scrubs, everybody. Scrubs. Cox actually admits that he thinks Turk is the best surgeon in the hospital.
But he's full of shit. He's just doing that to pacify the...
No, I disagree. I think he really does. But he's saying, I don't care if you're the best. I'm still going to look out for my patients. You know, for me, I know you guys have issues with this, but I thought it was showing, look, Cox is the best doctor in the hospital. And he does not care if it's the best surgeon in the hospital. He's going to be there and eavesdrop and make sure he does the right thing. That's the level of how much Cox cares about these patients. He is going to micromanage every single fucking thing that happens to them.
I think what's happening is he's just been given a shit ton of responsibility still. Like before, he's back in the same situation that he was in before. And... Yeah, okay. I will say that he wants the best for his patients, but I don't think he thinks Turk is the best. He admits that Todd is the best, but Todd's bedside manner is shit.
Oh, is that what he said? I thought he said that Turk was the best, and then he said, look at your fellow, you know.
Yeah, because the comparison of is like the best actor on The Hills, which really took me out.
Yeah. Oh, that's where The Hills comes up. He said it's like asking who's the best actor on The Hills.
Well, it's clear it's Misha Barton.
When The Hills was on, did people know that it was scripted?
Yes and no.
It's kind of like WWF, or what is it called? WWE now? WWE, or it's like,
wait, are you telling me that The Hills was scripted?
Yeah, it's like WWE in that like the idea of what's going to happen in this scene is scripted.
Are you going to tell me next that freaking Newlyweds was scripted?
I don't know what you mean by Newlyweds.
Oh shit, it's older than you.
You mean the Newlywed Game?
No, Newlyweds, the TV show with Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey.
Oh, the love of my life, Casey
Cobb. Oh,
sorry. Well, was that scripted?
The number one freaking reality show of the
time? But was that scripted in a sense that they would say like...
Same shit. You guys talk about how you're freaking, hey, let's. I need to get you three together.
I thought it was really interesting when the writers, remember we had to join the writers when they went out on the writer's strike and we all went out to Universal to march in line with them with placards. Mm-hmm. And that's when it was exposed that there was 14 writers on Survivor and there was 14 writers on every single one of these reality shows.
Yeah.
Because they were all on the picket line, which was an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
Casey was the one that really explained it to me. She was like, it's not that it's like somebody's sitting there. They come up with scenarios and they say, this is what the scenario is.
Right.
Play it out.
That must be the Kardashian model, right? Like
that's every model. That's every model for every reality
you're
show.
You're mad from at so and so.
To the challenge.
Yeah. Right. You're mad at so and so, and I need a shot of you talking shit about them. Go.
Right. These motherfuckers get, and this is another way to do it. We're going to get you all wasted out of your mind too. So your emotions really fly.
That's like The Bachelor and stuff.
Oh my gosh. That's why Bachelor in Paradise is the best show ever. It's like so, ABC's version of porn, man.
So
oh my gosh.
You
I
watch
love
that
it.
Shit?
Are you kidding me? It's Hell the best. Yeah. It is
Daniel,
the best.
You love it? Hell yeah. Watch it every week.
I never.
They get these guys plastered and say, now have at it.
They so hook funny. Up?
Oh, hell
yeah. Oh, my God.
Do they show
Look,
them like.
This? Somebody will be like.
It's ABC. It can't be that fucking risque.
Listen. Oh, my gosh. Somebody will be like, this is how crazy it is. Somebody will be like, listen, while I'm on this island, I'm just thinking about it's just you and me and that's it. Okay. Let's just make sure that it's you and me. And the other person will be like, okay. And while we're on this island, it's you and me and nobody else. We're going to do all of the things that we're going to be in love. The second somebody hotter than the person that they're talking to walks in, the person is like, over. I know we made this deal, but I'm going to go on this date. Okay.
Every time.
Like this shit is like every time. It never fails, man. This shit is so funny.
It's so
hilarious. And then somebody mopes around this beautiful desert island by themselves, drunk out of their mind in their feelings because they were stupid enough to trust somebody who went on television to meet the love of their life.
I haven't watched any shit like that in so long.
It's the best, dude. It's really the best. It's
really well, at least you so found good. Something that you and Casey will watch together because you don't.
She's the one
that
put me on to this shit.
I know.
Like this was one of those things where I was like, I'm not watching this shit. Get the fuck out of here. And I sat in the same room and just listened for like 20 minutes. And then afterwards, I was like, we got to watch this again next week. Like there was this one dude on the show named Jordan. He was the best thing that ever happened. And he can't ever be like these people find love and then you look them up and they're no longer together. Some people work out. I love the show. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC 3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech. The season of summer concerts is upon us. When you want to secure the best seat in the house, you know you can't wait until the last minute. You have to be on it. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead.
If you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Go ahead, Johnny. What were you going to say?
Well, you know what happens? This used to happen with Broadway musicals. When great actors tell me the story, either the libretto or like Donald just did with this show, and then I watch it, it's never as good as when the great actor told me about it.
Right. Well, that's obviously the truth. Listen, they blur out the thong, so you don't get to see the ass.
And yeah, no booty on TV.
No booty on ABC.
Someone should do just a fully like X version of this.
Oh, I'm sure they have it on Playboy.
Right. That's sure kind of what Love Island is on Netflix. It's a
Love Island.
More, it's a little bit more.
I mean, the next level is someone's just going to make one that's like they're just really fucking and you're watching.
Right.
Sponsored by OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's for OnlyFans.
Yeah, you got to find a way to. If you're going to do that, you got to find a way to make it so it doesn't feel too pornish. You know what
I know,
mean?
But don't you think it's headed that way? They're walking right up 100%. To the line. They're walking right up to the line. They know that there's an audience for it. Just no one's cracked out how to do it yet.
Well, yeah, because the minute you start talking about we're going to have them fuck on live television or we're going to have them fuck or something like that, everybody's like, whoa, I feel uncomfortable. Right. I'm uncomfortable watching.
I know,
sex.
But that's just moving the, what do they call that, Daniel? The
everybody is not.
The Overton window.
They all love to watch.
The Overton window. That's like the, how do you explain the Overton window, Daniel?
I mean, it's just like what people, you know, decide is appropriate. Here, I'll look up the definition.
Yeah, it's like what people decide is appropriate. Now, obviously, that slides.
Let me ask you a question. If it's dead even, one half says, I don't find that's appropriate, and the other half says, I find that's appropriate. What's the middle then?
They start airing it?
That's not what we're talking about. A poll would never work in this case because people are going to say what they want you to, what they think is acceptable within the Overton window to say.
Right.
But
exactly.
Say,
that's my point.
Once it gets onto a channel, whether it be, however it would get on probably the internet, I assume first, then all of a sudden the Overton window slides and people go, this is acceptable. Oh shit. Are you watching that new reality show where they actually fuck? It's insane.
Exactly.
Now, what's the actual definition, Daniel, for our audience?
It is exactly that. The spectrum of ideas on public policy and social issues considered acceptable by the general public.
But you can't know if it's acceptable or not until it's actually tried out, though.
Of course, but well, things slide.
They have to happen, and then they're kind of like, it's, you know, you could look at it with music, too. Like, what used to be considered very, like, experimental kinds of music are now just pop music.
Well, here's a very clear example. recreational marijuana being legal.
Say it's that.
Like the Overton window has just completely slid. Mm-hmm.
Towards... Another perfect example, TV in the 80s and 90s, TV now.
Yeah.
The things you can get away with on television, on network television, compared to the things that you can get away with now are way different.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
That is the venue for which the Overton window has adjusted. Yeah.
Yes. The venue for which the Overton window has adjusted. Daniel, you're so articulate. By the way, did you see Michael B. Jordan in that Calvin Klein outfit?
God damn.
Jesus.
I think everybody who's seen it has paused for a second and was like, huh. We were talking about this last week, and I said I wanted to get my body in the shape of that. I am of the belief now that that might not be as attainable as I boasted about last week.
It is attainable. It's attainable.
I will set out on this goal, and I will.
How are you doing with the weed?
In some way, dude. That shit's difficult, man. I keep pushing the date back, and it's because I had so much weed in my house that it was like, and I don't want to throw it away because I spent the money on it, and it was a lot of money.
Why don't you give it to Daniel?
Fuck, I'm not giving away my marijuana, dog. This shit is mine. Listen, no disrespect to anybody, dog. Listen, I paid for it. It's like I paid for my Rolos. I'm gonna eat my Rolos, dude. It's the same shit. I paid for the weed. I'm gonna smoke my motherfucking weed. But here's the good thing. Here's the great thing is that I'm out. I'm not going to the dispensary to get more. I'm just gonna suffer and suffer and suffer until it no longer feels like I'm suffering. And then I will be on the other side. But right now, I do not like the way I feel. I feel lost. Mm. I feel in a haze or in a daze. And I really want to smoke weed, but I'm not going to. But I really fucking want to.
Well, there's this thing on Reddit called unpopular opinion. And it makes me think unpopular opinion, but : and they say weed isn't addictive.
That's bullshit. That's a lie. Anybody who said that is lying.
Well, is there any way we as your friends could help you?
Yeah, I mean, just no judgments, man. This is something that I got to deal with. You know what I'm saying?
There's no judgment.
Like, that's honestly, that's all it boils down to. Like, everybody's going to deal with addiction in some way. I'm not saying this is a fucking, I'm not saying I'm on the level of heroin or cocaine or anything like that, but I have a straight up weed problem right now. If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. But a bitch ain't one.
And weed is one. I got 99 problems and weed is one. Well, no judgment. We love you. And if you do want our support in any way, I'm here for you. I'll do anything for you. Definitely, I think a good step would be to not buy more.
I agree. 100%.
All right. Let's get back to the Scrubs show. Elliot and I catch Kelso. He's hiding out at another Coffee Bucks. And I tell him that Elliot's granny panties are actually her granny's panties.
That is disgusting.
And then we have a fantasy sequence where JD imagines Elliot being sexy. This was very naughty.
Holy shit.
Wow. Sarah Chalk.
I want to say.
Johnny C.
I just want to say in all, without trying to sound like a creep, holy fuck, Sarah, what the hell were you, like, is that creatine? Like, she was not only ripped, but she was buff. She was like, looked like she was freaking lifting them weights. Like she was pressing them things. You know what I'm saying?
She was very toned and sexy, and she looked fantastic.
She looked like she was eating chicken and broccoli.
Probably was.
She looked absolutely beautiful. She looked like a 1950s star out of Valley of the Dolls.
Who is it? Farrah Fawcett?
Oh,
no,
beautiful.
Who is it in 50 Foot Woman? And also, what was the one that Jane Fonda did? Barbarella and, Sheena. That's who she looked like. Sheena, freaking with the leather.
Yeah, she had sort of a warrior princess outfit on.
Yeah, she did.
Not the warrior princess Sheena back in the day, the one with the
had a little Tanya Roberts going
Tanya
on.
Tanya Roberts. Yeah. Yes, yeah, Tanya Roberts, yes.
And then she cut to me, and I was obviously going to the gym because I looked
took your clothes off.
I didn't look too shabby. Yeah, I took my shirt off.
Good.
Yeah. I was working out with Bill's trainer then, Jürgen.
You didn't get the lights, though. She got the lights. They didn't give you the lights.
They didn't give me the beauty lights, no.
No.
Well, hers was a fantasy, and mine was meant to be actually in the coffee shop.
Yeah, you took your shirt off to get the stain. Yeah.
She's like, why don't you put your shirt back on? And I did that lean back to make my abs look better. You know, that lean back? Lean back.
Lean back.
Lean back.
Lean back.
So then we go to this wacky black hole world.
Well, hold up. Let's go back. You're skipping ahead. First of all, we need to talk about the janitor and how he fires the really nice janitor.
Yes.
And then we find out that that was fucked up. That dude had two episodes. He was the nicest dude ever. Gets fired.
Well, I skipped the second funniest thing in the whole fucking show. I apologize, audience. When we have that fantasy where we're hooking up and our hands clutch on the bed.
Oh my God. And was Donald's hand on top of yours?
Yes, it was.
He was.
You were bottoming. You were bottoming.
I was bottoming.
You
were bottoming.
I was the recipient. Yes,
I was right. You were the recipient of the goods.
I was the recipient of the goods.
Yes.
You were receiving, Zach.
Donald, I remember us laughing so hard even shooting that.
Yeah, I remember
even
too.
Just shooting the clutching of the hands, we were cracking. Because the shot was so funny.
You
see my hand come down, and then you see his come down and clutch it.
That made so many people happy. So many people had wanted that to happen for so long.
Oh man, I laughed so hard. I laughed so. There's never been a shot of two hands that made me laugh harder than that shot.
Oh, it's hard not to. It's hard not to go off into your own private Idaho on that one, boy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure some fans did. They paused.
That's pretty darn good.
So let's see. The janitor was never hired back, and he's making Ted mop for him. He's convinced Ted that. He's injured because he's rusty from mopping, and so Ted is so happy to have him back that Ted, who's not a very good mopper, has taken over all of the cleaning responsibilities.
But everything about Sammy's physicality in this episode just yields huge dividends. From him running around the hallway to him not being able to mop.
Yeah,
you know, and what's crazy is Sam was a tremendous athlete, a tremendous.
Really good. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Oh, a great basketball player.
Oh my goodness, what? Dude! Listen, it was so deceiving. And when I say he was a good basketball player, I mean he was a very good, smart, and athletic dude. Athletic dude, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, just the character he played. You know, he was not like that at all.
Not like that at all. And if you look at Sam out. Well, look at him outside of the show. If you look at his body when he would wear normal clothes, Sam was fit. Always looked fit, too.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Could he drain threes, Donald?
No, he was more of an inside player, and he was unorthodox too. Like it wasn't like he was a lefty or anything like that. You don't expect somebody that looked like Sam when you work with him to be that good at sports, and he's phenomenal. He was phenomenal.
Wow.
Like my brother, high praises for Sam's basketball. Like high praises. And my brother doesn't talk nice about everybody, but he talked nice about Sam all the time. He was like, dude, like, so we played in the NBA Entertainment League, right? I tried so hard to get Sam to play in the NBA Entertainment League. And he would always say no because we would play on Sundays and he was a huge Patriots fan, right? But we would try so hard to get him to play basketball with us. Because we knew if we got him, people would look at him and be like, he's not going to do anything. And we knew that he would just destroy everybody, right? Sam was such an amazing athlete. And so, and the character that he played on television made you think, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. That's also saying how great of an actor he was also.
Right.
Like he was obviously so good at what he did that you would believe that he was that person. And he wasn't at all.
This is funny because Bill has the rights to the janitor saying something that Bill always says. And now if you're watching Shrinking, he's written it into Michael Urie's character saying it, but it's the phrase, everything always works out for me.
Oh, that's right.
So Bill put it into Shrinking.
Right.
But don't you feel that way?
That everything works out for him?
No, that if you are of that mindset set.
Absolutely. I think what you manifest, you put out there. And if you genuinely believe this, as Bill does, you have to genuinely believe it. You can manifest every day things working out for you. And I think Bill lives by that. And he's one of the most successful people in town because he fully believes and manifests everything works out for me. And I think he's living proof that if you have the will and the commitment to a mantra, you can make anything fucking happen. But it's funny. It's very obnoxious to people that don't believe it. and you kind of roll your eyes. But anyway, so he gave it to the janitor here. But just a funny connection to shrinking is that it's now a catchphrase for Michael Urie in Shrinking.
The janitor pulls it off here, too. He's living the dream. He got fired.
Not only does he get a pay raise, but he's now back on the books.
Right.
And he didn't even have to go for a job interview or anything. Oh, he just had to convince the lady with the checks that he's supposed to get one.
And it's great bouncing that off of Ted. Bouncing that off of Sammy is just great.
He convinces the woman that he's gets double his salary, and she just accepts it. She's not a very good accountant.
She is not.
No, she's not that good an accountant.
She really shouldn't. I want to know what her story is. You know how in modern day television, they'll go off and like just tell a random person in the show's full story. I'd like to know what a day in the life of that really bad accountant woman is like, because
That's pretty good.
She's not really doing a very good job watching the hospital's money.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Okay, I have a question. Who directed this episode?
Ken Winningham.
Kenny did. Yeah.
Okay. I love Ken Winningham. I don't understand why you guys were in a black room.
Okay, that's not Ken. That's Bill. I think, if you remember back in the day, this is a deep cut, there was a very dramatic-ish episode of Family Ties where Michael J. Fox, I believe, lost a Alex B. Keaton lost a friend. Do you remember
his
that?
Best friend? I do remember. Yeah. Yeah.
And they did a very stylized version of it where, if you recall, it was kind of broke the fourth wall of the sitcom and it was black and he was walking through the sets. Do you remember this?
Yes. I do.
All right, so in my mind, this was sort of Bill's homage to that. It obviously is an out-of-the-box idea for Scrubs. We never really did anything quite like this. But in his mind, we just disappear into this sort of black void and finally tackle the difficult conversations of, are we going to really do this again or not? So it wasn't a Ken thing. I think it was a Bill writing it thing.
Okay. It took me out of the episode.
Yeah. I have to say, I don't think... I remember shooting it and I didn't feel like I was very good in it. I thought I was I didn't know my lines well enough, and I remember thinking at the time I wasn't present or up to the task to do it as well as it needed to be done.
I disagree 100% with you right there. I think you both did a great job in it. I think what was missing was the ambiance in the background. Mm. I think the singling out. When you single something out and you take away everything, it's really, 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 really hard to keep the audience captivated. That's just me. And I know it might have worked for Family Ties, but I don't, you know, I have a hard time just when movies are just a black set, or when TV shows or when plays are just a black set.
I think what you're also saying is that and this I feel a lot in different forms of entertainment, that the style choice upstaged the performance.
Absolutely. Well, it also takes away from the performance, because in real life, you're fidgeting, you're grabbing things, regardless of what's going on in the conversation. Even if you're present and you guys are eye to eye and looking and stuff like that, your body is doing other things. When you take away all of that, you know what I mean? And it's just you and the other person, a table, and you're sitting there, you're forced to just focus on that, and that's not necessarily realistic. Mm-hmm.
No, I hear you. But all I'm saying is I feel many times as I watch content that I go, oh my God, you have such fucking amazing actors and such incredible dialogue. All this style that you've put on it is about you, the filmmaker or the showrunner, and like, just let these fucking people talk. Like, I want to just... You're upstaging the performances with your style. Do you know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah, I totally.
And I don't know. This might be an example of that for you, is what I was saying.
It's hard to, if the whole show was like that, I could totally, by this point, I would totally be invested in everything like that. But because this came out of nowhere with no, it wasn't even like, you know, with everything that's going on in this room, I only have eyes for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like that. It was just out of nowhere. Everything disappeared.
There was a quick line, Donald, and I don't know, I just, for full coverage, where they were like, and suddenly it was like we were the only two people in the room.
I think taking people out of the room is a better thing to do than just all of a sudden making it so that the room doesn't exist anymore.
I think that would have been a good note, Donald. Yeah.
So there's a moment where... Jimmy is, who does he say this to? Is it me? All the energy's in you. I'm just opening the channels.
This is at the end. This is during the end credits.
No. I'm still within the show. Oh. When he's working on me, he says that.
Oh yeah.
All the energy's in you. I'm just opening the channels. And I'm like, ah,
God. That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, me too. And then Todd, I think the first and only time Todd is the source of the wisdom of the episode. He said, life would be so much easier for everyone if we just trusted each other.
Yeah, that was strange.
It's impossible.
It's like a stopped clock being right twice a day. Todd finally has a piece of wisdom.
That was very strange.
I think Bill wanted to have him bizarrely be the source of the... of the wisdom. This episode is about trust. Is Elliot gonna, and JD, are they gonna trust each other? Is Dr. Cox, the, you know, best doctor or leader of the hospital, gonna trust a surgeon in Turk? Are those patients gonna trust each other for this bizarre kidney swap that we talked about?
But it's also about why we do what we do. Like, that was a major part about it too. Like, coming back from the act break, why would you think we're dating? Why won't they do the transplant? Why would you still work here? You know, the why is a big question. Well, it's the number one question coming back from the act, right? And I thought that was really interesting that, I mean, of course, it's a sitcom and that's what we do. But I know, I thought it was very interesting that, you know, who gives a shit if JD and Elliot are dating? And that's what Kelso says at the end.
Yeah, what Kelso says is, Kelso really drops the quote of the episode. He says, who the hell cares what anyone else thinks? Just look into your heart and do whatever the hell makes you happy.
And you've been quoting that for so long, Zach, on this podcast, and I didn't remember when it came in. And when I heard that shit, it was like an epiphany. It was like, you're absolutely fucking, and I've been listening to you say this shit. You said this to people that have called in. You've said this to people that have, you know what I mean? Like, this is something that has consistently, and you've given it to Ken too, you know, saying how that line has resonated with you. And it wasn't until I heard it today that it really fucking stuck with me. You know,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Scrubs fans like that and have responded to that over the years. And I think it's a good really mantra for living your life, particularly in the modern era when so many people can weigh in on your own choices. I got goosebumps at the end when they grabbed hands. I'm not going to lie. I'm not ashamed.
I shouted. Look, it's happening. It's
Wait, you
so
shouted
cute.
You shouted yay or like, oh boy?
Yeah, no, like in the best way because it's such a slow, steady build for these two. And then the show kind of like drops it for so long. And then to see you guys just be friends, like you and Sarah are so adorable. It's just like, oh, it's friend dates. And we're just hanging out. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen two friends like kind of fall in love where you're like, oh no, they're doing, you know, before they know they're not quite catching up to like where they're feeling. It was that kind of feeling. I was very excited. I loved the end of this episode.
I got to tell you, I was not expecting to be affected by it, but when JD grabs her hand, I fully got goosebumps. I was like, oh god, I'm really rooting for them. I'm like, I'm truly invested.
I feel like it didn't come on suddenly either, though. I feel like what I wrote this down, I feel like what Bill did and how he's placed this from when the time you guys had broken up into, you know what I mean, into now, it's not like this comes out of nowhere.
And also I think he knows he's wrapping me up, us up, you know, like the future of what was going to happen next season was very unclear. I think he knows that he's going to stick the landing with me and Elliot and then do a proper ending of season 8, right? Like we know, we do that amazing, incredible walking down the hallway and the images of our future. And so he's building, he knows as a showrunner, he's got to get to there by the end.
Because I was going to say, he planted a hopeful seed in every season. There's a hopeful seed. Yeah. Even in the season where JD breaks her heart completely, he still plants a hopeful seed that they can get back together every year.
You love planting seeds.
I planted at least 6 of them.
That you know about. So we...
I said at least.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Johnny, any ending thoughts?
Oh, just that you guys are crushing this thing. I don't know how you've been doing the perseverance you guys have exercised in your podcast. I know there's sometimes when you don't feel like doing it and maybe it's a bummer, but you and Joelle and Daniel and Dee, you guys just crushing this thing. I'm so proud of you. It's so fresh every time you do it. And there's got to be times where it's just like Sisyphus bringing the boulder up the goddamn mountain.
It never feels that way when we're doing it. I do dread it sometimes when I'm supposed to do it. But the second I see their faces.
I guess that's what I mean.
The second I see their faces,
somebody calls action. When somebody calls action, you're going to do something. But prior to it, you know, if you have a cold or if you just broke up or if somebody passed, there's a million things and it doesn't matter. And somebody calls action or the curtain goes up, you got to do something. But it's the in-betweens, which is the heavy lifting.
Amen. Well said. Every Thanks, actor Johnny. Should hear that. That's deep. Johnny, I'm going to come out. I'm going to invite
I want to come
out.
With him. I want it to be a mandate with all of us.
I hope you guys aren't just talking
are
around, Hollywood shit. I would
you,
love you.
Are
you
around? You are you around Saturday, Johnny?
Yes,
I am not.
All right. Well, I might hit you up for Saturday because I'm going away. I'm going on a tour for my new film. Hey, John, I'm having a screening of my film. I'd love you to come on the 23rd of March if you're in town.
What day of the week is that?
That is a Thursday. The film comes out March 24th on a Friday. And I'm about to go on a tour. So let's do a little housekeeping, Joelle. We're going to be off for 1 week, and then we're going to do a special top secret episode for you. That's a surprise.
Yes.
And then we're going to be off for another week, right?
We might yes. be. I need to figure out my hiatus week.
Casey
too.
And I are working on it, and I'll send everyone a calendar, and I'll update the fans.
Just
know if you're listening, like, there'll be new episodes and some classic episodes mixed in.
Yeah, and audience, I just want to tell you, Donald is starting his new show, and I'm going on a press tour to promote A Good Person. So the schedule will be a smidgen wonky, but we are bringing you a very cool surprise. We can't tell you yet. Episode.
I'm excited for them.
In two weeks.
Not only for them. I'm not only excited for the audience. I'm excited for the people who aren't necessarily listeners to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, to see the capacity of.
Don't give away the surprise.
I'm not going to give it away. A firepower that you're bringing, that we're bringing.
It's going to be a surprise, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
We'll tell you, Johnny, when we get off the air.
No, don't.
By the way, did you hear when Sarah thought we did this live and that when we go to commercial, we really just sit around and chat and wait for the commercials to end?
She's the best. She's the best.
Dude, she's amazing.
She's the best.
I love her so much. What was the day the special episode airs, Joelle?
We're probably going to air that one on the 21st. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, wait, before we go.
Yeah, we're wrapping up. Go ahead.
The Mandalorian. We're not going to talk about that at all?
No, we've had a very
long. You guys haven't seen The Mandalorian yet?
You're yelling. Remember?
Because we're talking passion. We're talking passion.
We talked about yelling.
And
the audience does not want to be yelled at, honey.
I am sorry, and I am sorry, but it is Thursday.
Is it good?
That motherfucker, I mean, it's, listen, man, there are two versions of Star Wars.
With all due respect, please keep it short. Like, nobody wants to hear about this. All right, guys.
It's two versions of Star Wars now. There's what the fans want, and then there's the storytelling. This is a very fan-heavy show. So if you're a fan of Star Wars, you tune into this, you're going to get what you want. If you're a story-driven Star Wars fan, Andor's for you. If you're like me and you love it all, it's wonderful to be a Star Wars fan right now.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous.
Beautiful.
You know, I love that Star Wars makes you so happy. I hope that I can one day make you as happy as George
Lucas. Listen. Dude,
I'm jealous of how happy George Lucas makes you.
It's not just George Lucas. It's also John Favreau.
And Dave Favreau. Filoni. All right.
Listen, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You make me happier than they ever.
Thank you. I can't wait to be in the cold tub with you and just be receiving your we should go in the tub together, maybe.
There's one shrinkage in the tub. So
no, listen, it's like one of those small little barrels. I want to get in there with you.
Face to face.
Yeah.
I want to feel your breath. I need your heat.
Or maybe
heat.
Spoon.
I need the heat from your
mouth.
I think
we shouldn't go in face to face. We just go in there. We'll go in there spooning.
I need your heat.
Johnny, is it recommended to go in as a spoon?
I need your warmth.
Under no conditions are you guys going in together.
What is it, 98 degrees in the mouth?
Not happening.
Isn't it 98 degrees in the mouth?
Johnny
I'm
doesn't
gonna
want,
need you to blow some
Johnny
of that on
doesn't
me.
Want his ice tub fucking ruined by us spooning in it.
We will not ruin it. God. We will not ruin it. There will be no fluids. There will be nothing like that. No, there will be no fluids exchanged. All I'm saying is I need your heat.
Yeah, I need your heat. I need to hold you.
I need your warmth.
Yeah. We're on the edge of the tub. We're gonna grip each other's hands like in the episode.
Oh,
all right, that's it, everybody. Please check out A Good Person trailer. It's on YouTube. I'm doing a whole tour around the country and the United Kingdom to promote A Good Person. Starring Morgan Freeman and the legendary Florence Pugh and Molly Shannon. Please check it out. It's coming to a theater near you on March 24th. Johnny, we love you so much.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right, that's the show. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at Tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com. And point your toes west.